Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
A lot of movement up in Boston yesterday. A lot of fallout from their underperforming, underachieving season. And a season that ended in the first round with a whimper. And changes were made, and they were made swiftly as Danny Ainge steps down as Celtics president. He'd been there 18 years. They made the playoffs 15 times in 18 years. You know, they won the one title in 2008, been to the conference finals several times, including three of the previous 4 years before this year. Yeah, he'd been there.
I was at those games in L.A. too.
That was a really fun finals. Mm-hmm.
And
that
was both of them were, though.
And the Lakers and Celtics played each other a couple of times there in the finals, and those were a lot of fun. I covered them. I was actually there in L.A. too. I'm surprised I didn't see you.
You didn't. You probably saw me and just continued to walk past me. Like, I wrote that bad article about him. He's going to be mad at me.
Maybe I did. Google it. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. So we talked a lot about Brad Stevens and he moving up into the front office, moving out of the coaching position, and how they have to look for a coach. But let's talk a little more about Danny Ainge and what he leaves behind with the Celtics. And he explained in the press conference yesterday with the media just why this was the time to step down and why Brad Stevens was the right man to replace him.
Today is not a great day. I wish we would have, finished the year on a much better note. But I feel like there's so much hope in the Celtics going forward. And I'm excited for Brad. I think that Brad, he was born for this. It was I trust my instincts. My instincts told me a couple months ago that it was time for me to move on. And that's what's best for us. That's what's best for the Celtics.
Is it, though? When you consider his best move was the one that led to the championship, the trade for Kevin Garnett. And Garnett was a player who was never going to leave Minnesota, didn't want to do it, had to get a championship. They convince him to come to Boston. He makes that deal. He makes a deal for Ray Allen, creates this big three, and they win a championship. They had a terrific run there.
Brought them out of a 22-year drought. By the way,
that's true.
I do want to give him credit for what he's been able to do. Yeah, because I mean, he is a roster building pioneer. I just think, unfortunately, the rest of the league caught up pretty quickly.
Well, he was one of the first to start collecting draft picks too. Yes. He was big on that, on collecting the assets,
and
one
in OKC took it to a different level.
He
did a hell of a job. It's so funny.
He brought
because,
back the Celtic mystique, pride, and all that
but
stuff.
But the
which
funny thing
since the Bird era.
But the funny thing about it, Alan, is starting yesterday, there's this thing that set that started as if he was like there, never won anything, never built anything, never, and people are making it seem like somewhat of a failure.
Oh, no, Key. This has been going on for a minute, man.
I understand. I understand that, but it's been going on for the last 4 to 5 years. But they make it seem like the body of work doesn't exist.
But the problem is that he started out where he was like one of the best executives in the league with all the moves he was making. Right. Then, and again, this was also a huge night, 2013 draft, where he makes the trade with Billy King, Brooklyn Nets. And he sends an aging Paul Pierce, an aging Kevin Garnett, an aging Jason Terry to the Nets some of the names of these players, you're like Chris Humphries and Gerald Wallace and all that stuff, all expiring contracts to get them out of the contracts.
Exactly.
Right. And three unprotected, the death knell for Billy King, because you make a move like this, unprotected first round picks, which the Nets weren't good, and they turned into lottery picks.
And that's how they got Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown.
The second one, Jason Tatum, which he flips with the Sixers in another brilliant.
Which at least the 76ers can make
Markel Fultz. Yes.
That didn't work out.
The third pick, by the way, Kyrie Irving. Now, he didn't draft him. He used the pick to get Kyrie Irving. So you look watching and saying, well, this is brilliant. You collect draft picks, flip them into building a whole new roster, which he did, and now you had a team that for over a four-year span, with Brad Stevens, also a really smart hire, he went into the college ranks and found a guy that he identified as the next, a brilliant coach who could do it at the NBA level. People questioned whether or not Brad Stevens could do it at the NBA level, and he certainly did. He proved it pretty quickly. They get to three conference finals. They just can't get over the hump. They just can't get to the destination. How much did LeBron James have to do with that? How much did the East and some of the opponents that they had to deal with have to do with that? and the fact that they were a young team. But still, there was success, but it didn't lead to the championship. That second half of his career as executive didn't lead to a championship.
Have the Jerry West type success.
Jerry West is the perfect example.
He didn't have the Jerry West, former NBA player. I don't know how many times executive a year. I'm sure he's got a bunch
countless.
Of them. But, you know, it didn't lead to that. And this is why he decided, like Perk said, man, I want to spend some time away from him, my family. Now, he may resurface in a year or two, like all these dudes do, because there's nothing else for them to do, right, other than spend time with their family. They don't
He's so
have
close
anything,
to ownership there, I imagine. He'll have some
him and Steve
Aligrucci are
very, very close. He's a co-owner of the Boston Celtics as well. You know, it's interesting, though, because we talk about Scott Perry over at OKC and how they've accumulated all the picks, right, for so long. And Danny Ainge was the first to do that.
Sam Presti.
Sam Presti, sorry. Yeah. I know why I went to Scott Perry. I'm still on the Knicks. Sam Presti, right? And how Danny Ainge has been able to do that. But yet it seemed like, and one of these narratives that started to follow him, is that when some of these disgruntled superstars came up, right, for an opportunity to land these guys, he couldn't outbid other teams with all those assets. Like, remember, like Anthony Davis was talking about, they were talking about AD coming to the Boston Celtics. You imagine that pairing between AD and Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown, Kawhi Leonard,
Paul was
George.
Name. Yeah,
I mean, Jimmy Butler.
Could he not convince those players though to want to play there, opposed to the teams in the draft picks of trading those players there? Because it seems like to me the names that you mentioned, you would have to go to them and say, do you want to play in Boston?
I'll tell you one of the reasons that, from what I've heard, is that Danny got to a point that he never wanted to lose a deal. Some executives, you win so much early on, like you make these trades and it's a win. That's a win that I refuse to overpay. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose this. I don't want to look like I overpaid or I lost. And that can make you hesitate enough for another team to swoop in and say, I'll overpay. And so you outbid him for players. And that's, some people have whispered that around the league, that Danny always had to win the deal because he had such great success early on. I mean, talk about winning a deal. The Garnett deal goes down. Not the one to the Nets.
The one to Minnesota.
The one, what he got. Like, that's
huge. But that's his best friend,
Kevin
too, though,
McHale,
right?
Kevin McHale, his best friend. They worked that deal out. Everybody felt, and it's so similar to the Damian Lillard story now. Lillard won't leave Portland. He's loyal. I don't want to do that. KG was that guy in Minnesota. I am not leaving.
KG only went to the Eastern Conference Final, right? I mean,
Western Finals.
Western Finals.
Yeah. That was like 2004 or something like that. They lost to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Mulberry and them, Cassell maybe, was that?
No, that was Cassell, yes.
No Mulberry?
No.
I'm just trying to think of the team.
I'm not sure it was on that
Wally
team.
Wally Zerbiak was on that
Zerbiak
team.
Zerbiak was
an all-star that year. That was a really good team. It was like Sacramento was great back then. But the Lakers, they just couldn't get past.
Yeah.
It was 2004. Because that's the Lakers lost in the finals that year. That was the end of their run. But the point is that deal with McHale goes down is like epic. An epic. Al Jefferson was the guy they sent the other way.
Look, I gotta be frank with you. I mean, Danny Ainge could have been the president and GM for as long as he wanted to. I really do. Like, I commend him for stepping away from the game. And there's just always going to be pressure on somebody about, you know, the free agents that you missed, or that it didn't equate to winning championships, or that this team was always knocking on the door in Eastern Conference Finals 3 years in a row and they couldn't get over the hump. But at the end of the day, I think Danny Ainge just said, look, I rather prioritize my life in a different way. And I'm going to tell you, the real conversation came for Brad Stevens, because I think Brad Stevens is a really smart individual. I'm just not sure Brad Stevens is built to manage the type of personalities that were on a lot of these teams and get them to mesh. I think now him moving into the role that Danny Ainge had gives him a fresh look. And there's a lot of pressure on him now about who the next head coach is going to be. But I think this is the right move for the organization. And Danny Ainge led the charge by deciding to step down.
Well, he's got to make sure that whoever he hires as a head coach, that the players that he picks fits that personality and that of that head coach and what that head coach wants to do. He can't pick players that fit his personality for a head coach that it doesn't, and then you're just going to get it to blow up in your face.
I'll just say, Boston fans wanted this for a long time. It was more like me. Like, I didn't expect Danny Ainge to go. I'm looking more at Brad Stevens in that position.
You heard Perk.
As
Perk,
a head coach.
Very critical of him.
I've been saying this for 2 years. I think, because Kyrie Irving got a lot of flack. He was a scapegoat. Understand Kyrie comes with a lot. But I'm like, this is bigger than Kyrie, and I think It started to show his head over the last couple of years, right? But now this going – be careful what you ask for, Boston Celtic fans. I think Brad's going to be okay. But Danny Ainge is also – he was really good at his job. It may not have landed or equated right to championships right away, but he's really good at
his
job.
I'm glad you said that because this is sort of you're at a point with the franchise. It's a precarious moment right now because you could look at it and think, oh, okay, it's seamless. Brad's still here, but he moves upstairs. And Danny Ainge was really like ran that franchise for the last two decades, essentially, right? And that's gone now. And so there's going to be a change in the stand, just like Coach K leaving Duke. It's sort of the same thing. Do they maintain what they've been? Are they going to change? And one bad decision can set you a course a completely different way.
So five teams come to mind for me on building a team through free agency and recruiting. The Lakers, the Brooklyn Nets, the Miami Heat, the Clippers. Can the Boston Celtics put that super team recruiting package together and guys decide, I'm going to go play in Boston with that?
Has that ever been a destination?
Has that ever been a destination?
Boston, Gordon Hayward. Like, Boston has just not been.
But Gordon Hayward came in free agency because they threw all the money at him. But
well, he also had Brad Stevens.
Five other people didn't come with him.
Right.
Or
Kyrie was the acquisition. You know, again, that was how they.
All you need is one now. I mean, you need one other superstar with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. It's not like you need to recruit, and you need a lot of ancillary pieces with the pieces that you currently on the roster don't fit. Like, it's not you don't have to bring two or three superstars. I mean, you still do have your pillars.
No, you do. You have
Jason
those
Tatum
two.
And Jaylen
so you
Brown.
You need
a great starting spot.
So you think the Celtics, when they rebuild this thing or build it or whatever
I'm just,
you want to say.
The reason I even bring it up.
You don't need a star. You need really good supporting cast with those stars.
Yeah, the reason I bring it up is because of what has taken place in Boston in recent memory history with all the different views about the way people look at the Celtics and the organization and the fan base and whether they treat players. That's why I look at it that way. So when we start talking about superstars going there, like who's going to say I'm going to go there and play? All those other guys were outside of Gordon Hayward. KG was acquired.
Yes.
So it's a difference. Yeah.
Ray
opposed
Allen was acquired.
Acquired.
Right.
These guys are acquired. I'm talking about a superstar saying.
You can say that about a lot of teams, though.
You can
say that about a lot of,
it is
well, a lot of markets where it's like, what superstar wants to go to New Orleans?
That's
right?
What
like,
I'm asking you. What superstar wants to go and play
with? But it all starts with a signature player. Like, I think players will want to play with Jason Tatum. Or players who may want to play with Zion Williamson.
They already have that, which is, again, the most important.
Okay.
And again, you have two. These are major brands in basketball. You have the Celtics, and then can they stay the Celtics? Cool. And then there's Duke. Can they stay Duke after Coach K?
Boos.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn in for Zubin. All guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Coach K will give it one more year, farewell tour, and then he calls it a career. And what a career it is, a Hall of Fame career. He steps down. Jay Will been talking about his experience. We bring in another Dukie, Carlos Boozer, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, ACC Network basketball analyst, and of course,
C. Booze.
NCAA champion as well. Good morning, C. Booze. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How we doing? Jay, what's popping, brother?
What's popping, brother? How you doing, man?
What's going on, guys?
What's happening? Doing I was well. About to say, man, I made it sound like you was getting ready to leave me out. He's like, what's popping, Jay?
Nah,
I was like,
well,
what about
that.
Me? You my man, too. Even though I didn't go to Duke. It's fine.
You did say earlier that you also hate Duke, so.
No, I don't like. I just, I like the guys.
He needs to know that.
I like the guys. Booze, don't
you
listen
don't
to
like
him. I like the guys. I just don't like the brand. And I'm sure I'm not the only person, Jay.
No, you're not. Booze, What do you think about all this, man? What were your initial thoughts yesterday when you heard the breaking news that Coach K was going to retire?
Yeah, I was surprised, man. I mean, I think we all knew it was coming to an end for him at some point. You know, he's had a hell of a run, you know, 40-plus years, a lot of success, has won a lot in his career. I mean, I kind of thought it would be like 3 or 4 years maybe, but, you know, listen, at the end of the day, we got Coach for one more year. He's had an incredible run. He got 5 gold medals. He got 5 championships. He's got countless ACC championships, and the list goes on and so forth. But the biggest thing, and Jay, you know, can speak to this as well, is he's a great leader of men. Like, he figures out ways to bring a team together, put all our egos aside, and go after one goal and winning a championship. And then after you get done doing that, he continues to stay in your life, talk to you, help you. Like, he's helped me multiple times throughout my career while I was in the league and after I retired as well. So to me, it's obviously the great coach that he is, the Hall of Fame coach that he is, but he's also a Hall of Fame person.
What's your lasting memory? Like, when you reflect on your time there at Duke, obviously the championship would be the one thing I'm sure you always go back to. But if there's something, even a personal moment, you and him, one thing that really affected you, maybe even, you know, galvanized your relationship with him, is there something that you always go back to, reflect on?
Booze, is it the time he put on your wave cap?
Oh, boy.
That's not what I had here. But, yeah, honestly, the thing with Coach that was really awesome, and don't get me wrong, like, the years at Duke when we won championships and all that was cool, but it was later in life when I became a father. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, I got a great dad and my own father, but, you know, he just always told me how great of a father that I am, no matter what the circumstances may be or what have you. And he obviously, being a father, also a grandfather, he just admired me as the dad that I am. And I think, you know, once you step into that realm of being a real man and taking care of responsibilities and having kids, it's a different level of appreciation, because that's a rare, you know, that's a rare breed right there. So that was the mark that me and Coach K, our relationship went to a whole new level.
So, Booze, here comes the tough question. You know, we both mm-hmm. know John Shire for a very long time, very bright. Mm-hmm. How difficult is the road for him moving forward?
Incredible. I mean, I think he's going to do a good job. I think he's going to do a great job. But you can't really replace a guy like Coach K. Those shoes are just too big to be filled. But at the same time, we all know that college sports is based around recruiting. And the great thing about John is that he's been there his whole adult life. He played there at Duke. He's been on that sideline for a number of years. I think he'll do a great job stepping in. But it's going to be tough. You know. Will he be able to get the A-list, the lottery pick guys that are coming out after 1 year? Will he be able to? Those are going to be the questions, because college basketball is built on recruiting, and there's a lot of coaches that are still there. It's going to be weird seeing the ACC or just college basketball in general without Coach K, without Roy Williams. Those are two icons in the sport that obviously are both retiring. Roy's already retired, but obviously Coach K retiring after this year. I think John's going to do a very good job. They got a very good team this year. They'll have a chance to have a Final Four team, maybe even win the championship this year with the group that they got coming in this season. But after this year, how well will he recruit? He's got a good supporting cast around him. Shout out to our veteran when we got to Duke was Chris Carwell. He's there to continue to run the reins on the sideline for him. But there's a lot of question marks moving forward, but I think John will be up for the challenge.
Carlos Boozer, ACC Network basketball analyst and former Duke star, joined us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Carlos, how do you feel about Coach K announcing his retirement now, but yet and still has got another basketball season to coach and being there on the sidelines with a coach in waiting? Because some people feel like he should have did the Roy Williams deal and just decided to say, I'm done, I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, is there really a right way to do it? I mean, listen, everybody got their own way, and Coach K's definitely done everything his way, the way he wanted to. And maybe it was one of those things where, one, it lets all the fans know, like, listen, this is going to be my last go-around. You know, kind of like we've seen with the Derek Jeter farewell. We've seen that before with Kobe's farewell. We've seen that before with a lot of different players. I think it's kind of awesome, actually, because it gets fans that are from all over the world to get a chance to look at the schedule, book your tickets, get out there to see him. Close friends of his are definitely – like, we have a group chat, Jay Will tell you guys, we have a group chat of our 2001 championship group, and we're all trying to figure out different times to get down there to Durham to see him as well. But ultimately, it gives all the fans that have even the haters will get a chance to see Coach one more time before he hangs it up. So I think he did it the right way. You know, for me personally,
yeah,
it gives John a heads up on how things are going to be. You know, he's right there. I'm sure Coach will give him a few more tidbits, a couple more nuances that will help him as he steps into the realm when Coach retires after the season. But ultimately, for me, I think that was more for fans to let them know, like, hey, this is my last go around. If you got chance, if you got time to come check out a game, to come, you know, say your farewell, this is the time to do it.
Yeah, and anybody deserves it. He certainly does. Can we talk a little NBA real quick?
Yeah, because, Booze, I want to ask you a real question, Booze. And I'm really curious because, you know, we've been hearing a lot of stuff around Utah. Obviously, the situation that happened with Ja Morant and his parents in Utah. Obviously, you know, you played with the Utah Jazz. You and Deron Williams, guys had some amazing teams back then. People wonder, is Donovan Mitchell going to be there long term because of some of those things that have occurred out there? Did you ever experience anything like that made you uncomfortable in Utah, or say, like, hey, I'm not sure this is where I want to be long term? I know the money was good, but, like, do I want to be here long term?
Yeah, the money was very good. But, but no, honestly, I didn't. As a player there, I mean, I was, you know, it's one of those environments where at the time when I was there, there wasn't any other pro sport. I know they have pro soccer now. So we were like the show. We were the big fish in a small pond kind of vibe. Where the Jazz, everybody would come out and support us. We were the rock stars. We were the celebrities, what have you. And they really came out and supported us. And I was kind of, you know, me and D. Will and AK-47, all of us were kind of following Jerry Sloan and Karl Malone and John Stockton, those legends, and following their lead. But I didn't really face racism there or, you know, uncomfortability there. I felt, you know, comfortable. You know, once you get around your teammates, you're playing basketball, you know, you hang out. It ends up being a lot of, you know, group, you know, team dinners, and, you know, everybody would go to the movie theater when the new Batman movie came out or whatever. But there has been a lot of incidents from, you know, I've heard these complaints from multiple, you know, friends of mine on other teams. We saw what happened with Russell Westbrook, I think, a year or two ago. Obviously, seeing what happened with John Morant. You know, me and Jay will face something like this at Maryland, but it not necessarily was, you know, race-driven with our parents when we played against Maryland at Maryland. When Jay Will went crazy that last minute, we came back and won. They were throwing bottles on our family section, things like that. So it's just, we're in a very bizarre state where the fans they feel like they can do whatever they want. You saw the popcorn on Russell Westbrook. You saw the bottle thrown at Kyrie Irving up in Boston. The NBA has to crack down hard on these fans to let them know you can't just treat our players this way and get away with it. And I think hopefully they'll start to do that. But there has to be regulations in place. This is getting a little too uncomfortable, not just for the players, but you're talking about family members, parents, you know, things like that. So it has to be fixed right away.
Great stuff, Booze. Good to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
All right, Booze. Give the boys and that beautiful girl yours a hug of mine, man.
Got you, my brother. You too.
Right, yes, sir. Carlos Boozer are on the Goodyear hotline. One other thing to point out.
His boys are real, too, man. He had three boys.
Yeah.
Ooh. 6'5", 6'7". I'm balling. Hooping. They're coming.
Wait, 6'5"?
Oh, yeah.
How old are they?
I'm not sure how Cam and Kaden are, but, I mean, teenage.
Yeah.
Teenage, like, all I think, right. 16.
Definitely keep 15, an eye
16,
on them.
They're coming.
And recruit them to Duke. Yeah. Make sure that happens. One thing to point out about the Jazz, too, just, you know, not just and for Donovan Mitchell, not just about anything going on around it. Last night, Luka Doncic on national TV. The Jazz, number one seed, NBA TV.
It's crazy.
Like, it's just that
those
markets get relegated.
Man.
That's just what happens. It's just unbelievable.
You can go hiking in Utah in a couple weeks.
Lakers Suns game 6. Key, how we feeling? A little nervous?
I just said he can go hiking in a couple weeks in Utah. What does that tell you?
Tells me that Utah is going to be in the world championship.
So I'm not feeling good right now.
He's not.
Y'all are so
we'll
slow.
I got it. God. I got it. I just didn't want to acknowledge it.
I was just asking how you were feeling, all right? Now what you can do for me is tell the world about Indeed.
We're going to use Indeed to get a new home. Never mind. The good news is here. Your business doubled. The even better news is Indeed can help you hire the right people without the wait times of the typical recruiting process. That's because Indeed has a great hiring platform where you can make calls, schedule virtual interviews, and talk to candidates over video right from your easy-to-use employer dashboard. is just another reason Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Find your next great hire at Indeed.com/credit.
Hey, it's Greeny, and the Atlanta Hawks have eliminated the Knicks in Game 5 at the Garden. Atlanta moves on. Can Trae Young and company make it all the way to the NBA Finals? We'll talk about it. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
So the playoffs continue tonight, and first you get, which will be a lot of fun, of course, Nuggets, Trailblazers, more Dame Lillard. This time, though, it's at 8 o'clock Eastern, so most of the country can actually see Dame Lillard shine, and also Jokic and the Nuggets as well. That's been a great story, and so far been a great series. That's 3-2.
You think they got enough left in the tank after, man, after
I mean,
Game 5?
That's a big question to ask about Lillard. Like, the double overtime, 55, like, can he really still do that? Or how about somebody else on the team saying, all right, let's support him now.
Did you hear what Austin Rivers said?
Was it 1-for-14 in overtime?
Overtime. Did you hear what Austin Rivers said?
Yeah.
Austin Rivers straight up said, Key, I don't know how I can defend this dude any better.
Yeah.
Like, I hands in his face, I'm trying to kick him, nothing that. I mean, you know how competitive dudes are. I would never say that about somebody. And Austin, I know Austin, it's just as competitive as anybody. For him to say that about how special Dame is, I mean, speaks volumes about the talent.
Well, and the game he had. But again, the supporting cast, like everybody, like you talk about, the supporting cast has to come through for you. That was Portland's problem in the overtimes. 1-for-14. The only basket was an Enes Kanter layup. No one, two missed dunks by Robert Covington. Just a brutal double overtime. But yet, the way Lillard played, it was so special. That game was special, and we'll see how the game is tonight. But speaking of supporting cast, you also have the second game tonight, Lakers and the Suns, and LeBron James is going to need his supporting cast, Key. He's going to need them. They were not there in Game 5. AD wasn't there either. AD, you got to expect he's going to play regardless of injury. No decision yet, though, has been made. But this is a huge game for LeBron, but I think a bigger game for those guys that want to stay with the Lakers and LeBron. But wouldn't you say, like, all the supporting cast guys show up?
Yeah, I look, the supporting cast guys have to show up, and LeBron's got to do better than he did in Game 5. He has to put the team on his shoulders, as he talked about. That's just – it's simple. AD's going to play, because if AD doesn't play, it's not going to be good.
Right, it's very important. You want to get a take from L.A. on this?
Why not?
LZ Granderson, join us right now from ESPN 710 L.A. Good morning. LZ, how are you?
Morning.
What's happening?
I'm in a state of stress right now, gentlemen.
Finally, someone is admitting it.
Why are you in a state of stress?
Because I'm a Lakers fan, man. You know why? You know what time it is, Keith. I'm walking around right now with my Lakers t-shirt on, trying to hype myself up.
Well, LZ, can I ask you, why can we see, is LeBron going to be aggressive tonight? Is it going to be like, are we going to see LeBron James take 30 shots and apologize like Luka, like maybe I shot too much instead of just 19?
I don't really think it's about, you know, how many shots he takes as much as it is where those shots are taken. You know, you can give me 10 shots, but if they're 10 shots, you're putting pressure on Phoenix's defense, then I'll take those 10 shots. But no need to take them 15 and 20 shots if half them in the perimeter, you're letting them off the hook. So I don't care about the number of shots. I care where they're at and when they're taken.
Anthony Davis, LZ, is like, what's the deal, man? Is he going to play, not play? When are we turning the jersey back into the locker room? Like, what's the story?
Here's the deal, man. And Keith, you know, I like you 100. And I knew that Anthony Davis was arriving to us with a big question mark in terms of his health. We all knew. We all knew the history. But there was also a question about whether or not he was prepared to assume that number one spot when LeBron James eventually retired. Yeah. Because that would let Bob Pelinka know what he needs to do. Does he need to get out and get a number one, replace LeBron, and keep AD as that too? Is AD ready to step up and be that one? And I think we're getting that answer. And I think part of the frustration and agitation that we're experiencing now is because we really thought AD was ready to step in and be that one.
Hey,
but I'm here to tell you, man, I don't feel good about that right now.
LZ, do me a favor, sir. Man. I know Steve might be sleeping right now. Why don't you move into an area in that big mansion that you got? Won't you move into an area where your phone work?
Why are you putting me on front street like that about what I got and what I don't got?
Because it's you staticky.
It's all different kinds of sounds, LZ.
Yeah, like, man. Where's he calling? Yeah, from? You a tin cup? Closet or something? Oh, now
I heard in my house. It's your team that couldn't figure out how to work Skype, man. I'm sitting here in front of my computer. What you talking about?
What's the song you might need to call? Right,
yeah, what is the music you
now
playing?
We got music playing.
What are you doing?
I'm not playing any music.
It's called Payphone by Maroon 5.
Payphone by Maroon 5.
Why is that being played?
Because they think he's calling from Payphone.
Anyway, man, enough of this. Hey, LZ, we've been talking about this. I actually joined your podcast, the new one on ABC, a couple weeks ago. How important is this month for you?
Well, this month is important for me for a lot of reasons. You talked about, you know, joining the podcast for Pride, but it's also Juneteenth is this month. So I'm always curious to see what corporate America discovered of Juneteenth last year is going to do about it this year. This month is important because, you know, we're reviewing everything that transitioned after the death of George Floyd. So why am I bringing all these things up? Because of the gay black men in America, I don't have the luxury of just saying, oh, June is for gay people, because I'm still black. And in February, I don't have the luxury of saying, well, I'm black because I'm still gay. So I'm about promoting and pushing this notion that we're all living in an intersected world, that we all are touching each other, that we all are impacting one another. And I really don't like ghettoizing my self-identity just because it's a time of a month or a time of a year, because I'm gay and black 24/7. So I got to deal with all the repercussions regardless. So it's a big month in terms of celebration, but it's also the big month to remind people that intersectionality is a real thing, that we're all interconnected, and that as long as one minority is struggling for full equality, everyone is struggling for America to be what America is supposed to be.
And you pointed out how you're looking to see how corporate America responds. And what do you think of what the San Francisco Giants are doing wearing pride jerseys?
The jerseys are great, man. You know, it gets the conversation going. It reminds people of, you know, the history of LGBTQ plus athletes, both in the past and obviously in the present. You know, we are facing a wave of anti-LGBTQ bills, many of them targeting trans people, many of them targeting trans children. So I think this is a good thing that the Giants are doing in terms of helping people remember this time of year. But I really would like to see this conversation go beyond just a celebration and slapping the logo and a rainbow on it and get into some of the policies that are impacting our lives on a daily basis.
How close are we seeing an active male athlete come out during his playing career? Do you think that's we're going to see that at some point?
Well, we already saw it. I mean, we've already seen it. Whether you're talking about Jason Collins, who made history, or whether you're talking about the athletes like Clem Burke, who was a Los Angeles Dodger, who was out amongst the team. He wasn't out to the general public, but he was out with the team, and we know how the team handled Glenn Burke. And for those of you who don't know that story, I encourage you to look it up, B-U-R-K-E, Glenn Burke. He was the co-creator of the high five. So every time you give a high five, pick a gay man, because he's the one that created it.
LZ, what do you think sports leagues need to do in terms of more to just get the message out, you know, about the month, about June? Obviously, you and I have a close relationship. You've educated me to the powers of understanding what it's all about. So what do you think these leagues around, not just Major League Baseball, basketball, football, but other professional leagues need to do?
Well, I think, you know, they're on the right path. You know, it really starts with problem solving begins with acknowledging the problem, right? So we're at the point now where we're at least able to have a conversation about it. And as I mentioned earlier, there's an aggressive anti-trans movement happening right now. So not only are we addressing the problems, but we're also becoming more aware of the obstacles that my community has been facing for a very long time. Now it's about how do we make the culture better for everyone. And some of that has to do with, you know, policies and politics, and, you know, each corporation has to decide, each franchise has to decide how comfortable they are leaning in that direction. We just saw the NBA Players Association, or at least the wing of the Players Association that supports social justice movement. We've seen them lean a little bit into the George Floyd policing act and put their weight behind that. We need to see more businesses do that sort of thing as it pertains to LGBTQ equality. Because the better the culture is for people within our community, the more likely it is that we'll begin to see more people, more women and men come out, not just as athletes, but as business execs. You know, Key, you're on with Rick Welts, who's the, you know, outgoing president for the Golden State Warriors. There's really no one else who's going to step in as opening day as the team president. We need a pipeline there, in addition to a pipeline of players, in addition to a pipeline of the coaches. So acknowledging the problem is a great first step. Now it's about leaning in to actually address and fix those problems.
LZ, we thank you for joining us this morning. We're going to leave it right there.
Man, get a new phone. All that damn money you make.
Man, what are you talking about, man? What fix your face.
Lakers Suns tonight, and at least LZ admits he's nervous. 10 o'clock Eastern, the coverage begins on ESPN Radio.
Dude,
so coming up, you know, we have Call the Roulette, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's coming up after Jay has this from...
Here we go.
Good waiting for it. Where are you? Where are you? I can't find you.
Driven. Goodyear. Driven. More driven.
You got it. Still,
Goodyear,
this is not good.
We'll bring you back in a minute, Goodyear. It's time for Caller Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point and ask the question.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. And don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, Line 5.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
I looked good last night on MSG. Don't even start. That suit was on point. The colors, it was resplendent.
I
only Clyde was better dressed than me on
that
network.
Did you have a pink tie on last night?
I did. Pink knit tie.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Look at it.
Look at it.
Oh, there you go.
Come you're on, gonna, so, you're gonna sit down right now, and you're gonna tell
how
me
how is that a detective
you're gonna,
look?
You're gonna tell me where the bodies are right now.
Hey, you listen. We found the fingerprints.
Yes, and okay? You're gonna tell me.
Well, I got your file right here.
You know you messed up, right?
5 parking tickets.
You know you messed up,
in
right?
In the month of June.
You know you messed up. You know you messed up, right? Which I need to know.
Am I the good cop or the bad cop?
You play both sometimes.
You play both depending on who the suspect is.
Yes.
You know.
You're malleable.
You're gonna get 45 years, I'm telling you. You're going to get 45.
I would watch a detective show with Alan Hahn and Monica McKnight. Yes. I think
he's the bad cop. He is definitely the dirty cop in that show. Alan Hahn. Can you see him when you know how they show the starring Alan Hahn? You
know, the shoulder turn.
The shoulder turn.
The hair is perfect.
The hair with the little spray in it.
Wouldn't be the sunglass thing where all of a sudden I'd like bring the sunglasses
that's
down?
Too, you just got the look. Just the Alan Hahn, you know?
P.I.
You look very, never mind, I'm not going to say it. Like a banker. It's kind of like a banker slash, like you're undercover.
That's banker, man.
Slash.
No, lower third nowadays banker suits are really the tight. Tie.
Yeah,
his wasn't so tight. His was cool. He didn't have
an old school banker, though. You know what I mean?
I felt like I was clean last night.
Like how many bottles of hairspray do we use before you leave the house? Two.
Well, you won't see me on MSG. So for bad for quite the environment. Now, but you will see me tomorrow.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.